Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight, we got another good one for you, another banger. Got a lot to talk about. Talk about UFC 269. The card has been released. We're going to jump into Jan Błachowicz talking smack to Corey Anderson, who beat Ryan Bader over the weekend. You know, we're gonna talk about the controversy from Saturday night with the Aspen Ladd corner situation. We're gonna break that down. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. Plus, Key Celtics are playing the New York Knicks tonight, start the NBA season. So, you know, my boys lost last night to the Lakers. So Key's boys are in action tonight against the hated Knicks. So we got a lot going on. So what's going on, Keys?
Yo, I didn't even know the NBA. I didn't know Celtics were on tonight. I'm about to throw that on. The first preseason game?
Yeah, they're up by 12 right now. The first regular season game, they're up by 12 right now.
Dang. Yeah, I have to throw that on. You know,
I thought Celtics, that's why man. I thought that's why you was trying to cancel the show today.
Wednesday is like my busiest day, but we still make it happen. So, you know how it is. And I was trying to get out to one of my cousin's games. I think it's supposed to be her final game. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. She plays volleyball. She's in varsity volleyball. So if they don't make the playoffs, that might be their last game. So I was trying to get out to that one. And then I you know, hit the gym, come back, take a shower, hop on the show. We're here. Boom. So, you know, I'm saying we make it happen every week. But, yeah, I'm going to have to throw that Celtics game on in a minute. I'll be watching that while we're talking up everything we're going to be talking about. I mean, I just thought, too, that your boy Paulo Costa is saying that he's like 200-and-something pounds. He's like, I think he's like 210 pounds, 215 pounds right now. He said he's not going to be able to make weight for the fight on Saturday.
Hold up, man. So, I know this fight has been announced for a while, right? This ain't like it's a short notice, right? Is it a short notice?
Yeah, that fight's been out for a while.
I have no words for that. To me, I can understand when people get injured during training or, you know, might catch ill during training. But to be that heavy and you just close to the fight, no excuse, bro. I mean, unless someone come out to say that, you know, he had a medical issue or something like that, you know, they never really let us know anything to after the fight. So, but still. Wow. You said 215?
Yeah, he said he's hold on, I'm about to pull it up right now. Yeah, Paul Costa said today, this is from MMA Island. You know, we rock with MMA Island over here. I like MMA Island a lot. Salute to the team at MMA Island. They put out breaking news, like, it seems like instantaneously. So that's usually the first source I'm seeing something from. They usually the ones posting stuff before ESPN is posting it. And ESPN should really know all this stuff, you know. That's the umbrella for the UFC now. So you would think, you know what I mean, ESPN reporters will have it first. But I feel like MMA Island be reporting, and that's where ESPN finds out from. So anyways, yeah, they reported it. MMA Island, shout out to them. Paulo Costa said today at UFC Vegas 41 Media Day that right now he is 96 kilograms, which is, I guess that's equal to about 211 pounds, and won't make weight for his main event Saturday against Marvin Vettori. Proposed a catch weight of 195 pounds.
Man, come on, man. I mean, I thought he was going to lose this fight anyway because of Vettori's style. So, I don't know, bro. That's just too much weight, man. That's just, I mean, so basically he talked about he's still going to cut 20 pounds between now and Friday when they got to hit the scales. That's still a lot of weight.
He would have to go from, 211 down to, even to make 195, that kind of seems like 16 pounds. And, I mean, Thursday's in a couple hours, really. It's not like he has two full days. I mean, I don't know what time that's at, because I just saw that report like a half hour ago. So I don't know what time that was actually released at, or if he's been, if they're, in the process of cutting weight, maybe he got down a couple pounds since that report came out. But if that's like as of tonight, I mean, realistically, you got about a day and a half. You don't really have 2 days. You got about a day and a half, maybe.
Because even if you think about it, Vettori is probably close to 185, because it's supposed to be a 185 fight, right?
Yeah, 185.
So he's close to 185 already. So basically, you asking him basically to still come in 10 pounds under the weight that you're trying to get to, and then you're going to hydrate, so he's going to be even bigger. But Vettori, he's cocky enough to think that he's going to win this fight, even though his style does lean towards me picking him to win, because Costa really can't do anything on the mat, and Vettori can really get down on the mat. So, but Costa is coming in with all the advantages, whereas Vettori is coming in at a disadvantage in the physical aspect. But, maybe the weight, because I'm quite sure Costa isn't used to fighting at 200-plus pounds. So, but, I mean, he's going to be even more powerful, and he already got hands. I just think this is a bad situation. The UFC, I would cancel this fight, reschedule it, and probably have it the first pay per view in January, and just roll with it that way, man. Unless they got a spot filled, a spot open for late October, or a spot in November. But outside of that, I wouldn't do it. I would just go ahead and reschedule the fight.
Yeah. I think one thing that you could possibly do, and I don't know if this would go against what we've been saying or if this is more like what we've been saying, but I think you just take that fight and you just add it to one of these upcoming pay-per-view cards. That's what I think. Why? Because the thing that's kind of getting old to me is, like, all these fighters in these divisions, like, not being able to make weight, and then they propose fighting at a different weight. It's like, what's the point? Like, that seems to be happening more and more regularly now. It's like, they had the 170 fight. Diaz and McGregor fought at 170 two times, and that was while McGregor was the 155 champion. No, what was he? 140. 145? I don't know. I don't really know. But they fought at 170, and that really was neither one of their divisions. So that made no sense. And then McGregor went and fought for the 155 belt. The reason I'm saying this is not about them. It's just about the trend of not fighting at the right weight. Then you had didn't Poirier McGregor fight at 170, one of those fights they just had, or both?
I know Poirier and Holloway fought at 170.
All right. No, that one was that, was it?
Yeah.
All right. I think I think that one was at
155. Hold on, was that 170 or was that 155?
No, I think that, may I have think been that when Holloway, because think about it, you think Holloway went up to 170? That kind of sounds a little bit crazy.
That was 155. That was 155. That was 155.
Yeah, I would, you know, Max, he's got balls, but I don't know if he would be interested in fighting at 170. I feel like that's kind of, when you get to that point, like, he's big, but he's not that big. Like, I feel like he might look kind of small at 170. Maybe I'm in, whatever, but.
Yeah, he was at 155.
I think those dudes would be pretty big compared to Max.
Yeah, but then we also had a catchweight fight of Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler. Wasn't that at wasn't that a catchweight fight too?
Yeah, that was at 185, and those are two 170ers. That's what I'm trying to say. So there's all these. It just seems to keep on happening. It's like guys don't want to just. What's the point of fighting? Why is there weight divisions? If everyone's just going to fight at whatever weight they think they can come in at, like, where's the professionalism? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point of saying that you're a 170er if you're just not going to make weight all the time and you're just always going to want to fight at a different weight? Or if you're a 155er but you can never make 155, you always want to fight at 170. Like, what? I don't know. I just think that, like, in my opinion, if I was running the show, to keep up the integrity of the weight divisions and to keep up the legitimacy of it and to keep people's interest in the concept of different weight divisions, you can't just let guys keep doing all these catchweight fights. Like, it don't really make sense to me. Like, I feel like Dana White should shut that down, be like, the fight's off. You know, I want you guys to come in at 185 because that's your division. You know, this is supposed to be a middleweight fight. It's not supposed to be a 195 or a 205 fight. This is a 185 fight. So you get paid to come in at what weight? 185. So that's part of their job. So why are guys always getting all these handouts? Okay, you can come in at that weight. Okay, come in at that weight. What's up with that? I feel like that's taking away the integrity of weight divisions.
Plus, what they get fined? 20% of their purse? That's all they get fined is 20%? That's not a lot. To me, it's like you have to increase the fines. You have to increase the fines. 20 guys missing weight and they only cutting their purse by 20%. I mean, they already, to me, some of the fighters are already making pennies. So, what's additional 20% to them? So I think with the catch weight, what they try to do is they try to get the other fighter to fight at a catch weight so they don't lose that percentage of their purse. And you know, most fighters, especially if they and they feel like they can win the fight, they'll agree to that. So, but I think Nick and Lawler, I think they agreed to 185 because they both know each other, you know. I think Lawler was doing Nick a solid because it was Nick's first fight back in a long time. So I really don't have a problem with that. But like you said, until the UFC really start punishing people, man, bad behavior is going to keep happening in the UFC. Me and you talked about this, I want to say, last week. Until they are serious about making their athletes professionals in and out of the octagon, you will keep seeing fighters do things that we, from our platform of Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast, not us as fans, from our platform, until the UFC does start levying real punishments, you'll keep saying stuff like this happening.
Yeah, because like we were saying last week, like guys just feel like it's not that big of a deal. I could just come in at this weight, and especially some guys that they are actually making pretty decent money. Like, you know, I know Paulo Costa makes a good amount more money than a lot of the other guys on the roster. You know, he's up there in the six figures. I'm almost positive at this point, you know, per fight, and that's, you know, non-title fight. I'm almost positive he's making money like that. I mean, for a guy like that, I don't know if it's the guys that are making less money, you know, who knows if they really care about losing out on, you know, 10,000 out of 50,000 they might, or 20,000 out of 100,000. Paul Costa is probably making, I would think, like 150K a fight. You know, so to him, lose 30,000 to be able to come in at the weight you want to come in at, you know, I guess maybe that's not that big of a, I don't know. I don't know. I can't really measure people's pockets. You know, I don't know what would be worth it to a fighter to kind of get penalized for. But, you know, I do know that, you know, I agree with what you said. I think it's just going to keep continuing. Guys, you know, they know that the UFC isn't really big on punishment. They don't really do much for most of the things that happen. So we can just keep doing it, you know. A lot of fighters, you know, sadly, you know, the domestic abuse is a big thing now. You see a lot of fighters coming out with domestic abuse charges. You know, I know they just cut Luis Pena for he had, I think, two domestic disputes in the same year, this year. So they cut Luis Pena from the roster for that. And he's kind of someone that fans are definitely, he was definitely a guy that was, you know, fans like to watch, not as big as some of the other fighters, but, you know, a guy that was kind of more on the come up, you know, in that sense. They cut him, so that I agreed with that. I thought that was good that the UFC stepped up there, but, you know, they don't always do it in some of these other cases. You know, there's other cases where there's similar events happen and UFC doesn't really seem to want to respond. So I like what you said. You know, it's just going to, fighters going to keep on missing weight, you know, keep on doing the wrong thing outside of the octagon, keep on, you know, saying the wrong thing at the event, or, you know, getting into an altercation, you know, somewhere else. So it's just, we'll keep continuing, you know?
Yeah, man. So, look, you know, Ben, we talking controversy. Let's jump into another one. You know, Saturday night, early Sunday afternoon, a lot of people was giving Aspen Ladd's corner a lot of grief about the way her trainer / boyfriend was talking to her in the corner. Some people even went as far as to use the word abuse. Look, man, I'm going to go ahead and kick this part of the conversation off. I know we live in a super sensitive society, but guys and girls that manage fighters, they know what buttons to push to motivate their fighter. They know what buttons not to push because it'll have their fighter shut down. So, you know, I think the one thing people were looking at in this situation is they can't separate boyfriend from trainer. Okay, her trainer happens to be her boyfriend. But at the same time, when he's training her in a fight, he's not her boyfriend at that time. He's her trainer. So he is trying to do everything in his power to motivate his fighter, not his girlfriend. Okay. I know that trainers can sometimes talk to their fighters in a way that, you know, is hard or perceived as hard. But at the same time, if you look at how she was fighting, she didn't even look like Aspen Ladd. She looked like there. She was in there like she was basically shadow boxing the whole fight. She just didn't look like herself. And her trainer saw that, and he was trying to get her to engage and do the things that he knows she could do. But it seems to me that she's seen the shutdown even more. So what he was doing wasn't working. But come on, people, trying to say he was abusing her and, you know, all this good stuff. No. Remove the boyfriend situation, remove the boyfriend part of it, and just look at him strictly as a trainer and look at her strictly as a boxer. So, you know, we just live in a super sensitive society, man. And then it just happens to be a guy talking to a girl. So, you know, that kind of makes it worse. So, you know, what's your thoughts?
I mean, you know, we're definitely in a PC culture, politically correct culture right now. You know, definitely a sensitive culture, I think. You know, people are very aware of what is said, like, anywhere, and they're very quick to call things out. I'd say we're overall, like, a more reactive society, more than, like, a proactive society, you know. I think a lot of people now are, you know, they kind of fly off the handle with their emotions and what they see. And I'm even a part of that product. You know, I'm not saying that I'm not, you know, guilty of that myself at times. But, you know, it makes sense. You know, it definitely makes sense. You're saying, you know, separate their personal relationship, you know, in real life versus the octagon life. And look at the fact that, okay, she is fighting in a cage, right? So I think a lot of people forget that we're watching, you know, women and men fight in cages. I think they do forget that a lot of the time. You know, he said mean words, you know, that she said mean words, you know, that is kind of a little played out when we're watching, you know, watching guys and girls fight in a cage. I've been said that on our show before. So, but in this instance, I didn't even see the fight. You know, I didn't even watch the event. So I don't know exactly what he said. What did he say to her? Do you remember?
Man, the crazy part, Keys, is this. I really didn't think he said anything bad. But the crazy part is they kept going to her corner in between each round, like she was the only fighter. They rarely went to the other corner. So it was like they picked it up. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of probably picked it up between the second and third round, and they just started running with it, them being the broadcast team or, you know, the videographers or whatever. And I really didn't think he said nothing that bad. But at the same time, as he had to me, he didn't recognize that it was making her shut down even more.
So you think, like, the UFC broadcast team was trying to, they maybe noticed it and were trying to shed a light on that?
Yeah.
What was being said? They felt some type of way about it?
Yeah, because how many times in a fight do they actually cut to the corners? Maybe once or twice? Twice at the max?
Yeah.
I think in this fight they did it.
You were saying that it seemed like, you know, the cameras were kind of going to Aspen Ladd's corner more. It almost seemed like you were saying, and usually it's more even. You see them just kind of bounce back and forth, and you don't even notice whether either side is. It's never that apparent, you know. I'd say it's usually more evened out. They'll kind of bounce off each corner, you know, between rounds. You see a little bit of both, so.
Yeah, it was none of that. This was totally one-sided. I think between the second and third round, maybe the third and the fourth rounds, they just kept going back to her corner.
Yeah, so What would be, like, what's an example of something that, do you mind saying? Like, what is an example of something that he said?
Oh, man. Like,
does
get
it include
head
words
in the fucking...
that you don't say? Does it include words that we don't usually say on the show? Is that what we're getting at?
I mean, it was something like, I think he was like, get your head in the fucking fight. Where you at? One time he asked her, he was like, what are you doing? And he was waiting on her to answer, and she just looked down. She just looked down and said nothing. And it was just like, it was really typical trainer to fighter shit to me. But once again, her trainer happens to be her boyfriend. And I think that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, so, I mean, for that to me, I don't really know, like, I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't know how they talk to each other, like, in the gym, you know? So we, and nobody that is really criticizing that knows, it's like, a usual thing when they're training in the gym, and she's going through sparring, and, you know, and training's there, they're sparring together, and, you know, he might be talking to her. I don't know. I don't know. What's usual for them. So for me, I don't really know. I can't really say much about that because that being that I don't know that, you know, I'm not gonna go crazy and say. I mean, I'm not gonna go crazy and on that. You know, I don't really know. I don't really know what to say about that. That might be a usual. Maybe that's a that level of intensity is more of a usual thing in their sparring. You know, I don't know. So it's hard for me to really say much about that.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the point that everybody has missed, that I think the biggest point of this thing is people are looking at him as being her boyfriend. They can't separate the two, and I think you have to separate the two in this situation. So, but, you know, man, it is what it is. But we did have some – But we did have some comedy over the weekend, man. John Blachowicz talking about Corey Anderson, man. I thought it was quite funny, but at the same time, I thought it was quite true. It was funny and true at the same time. You retweeted me what he said, and I think the topic was the champ talking champ shit. So... what was your thoughts on it, man?
What?
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me put it to you like this. Did you love it? Did you hate it?
I mean, my first thought on it was that you would love it. I was like, damn, this is...
Okay, why?
Well, because it's really, it was just like a perfect scenario for you. Like, it was a perfect situation that I thought you would appreciate. Just the way everything has played out in the past, like, year with those two guys. You know, Corey Anderson went, you know, he was a title contender in the UFC, and then, you know, Blachowicz knocked him out, and then I don't know if his contract ended and they didn't re-sign him or if he left the UFC on his own accord or they cut him. I don't even remember what happened. I want to say he might have just left on his own and just maybe his contract was up and he just left on his own accord. And then the UFC was like, all right. And then it was like a day or two later, he saw he was signed with Bellator. So long story short, now he's on a win streak in Bellator. I guess he won, you know, he's won three fights in a row there. I think every one by finish, pretty sure. He just knocked out Ryan Bader in the first round. I was kind of surprised by that a little bit, but not that I didn't think he could win. Just that, you know, I don't know. They're both tough guys, but at the same time, like, it was just a perfect situation for you because, you know, we've often said Bellator is the B League. I'm sorry, Bellator. You're the B League. It is what it is. Like, you don't even have a ranking system. Like, where's the ranking system? How do we even know that you have legit guys? You don't even have 15 people in your light heavyweight division, and we're having a a light heavyweight Grand Prix, we're pretty much, that Grand Prix is probably the whole division. You had to put eight guys, and a lot of times they got to move guys from other divisions just to fill that Grand Prix, because you don't even have enough guys. Like when they did the heavyweight Grand Prix, they didn't even have eight heavyweights. You had to take Chael Sonnen and put him up there, and he didn't even really fight at heavyweight. Chael Sonnen was fighting at middleweight, and he fought at light heavyweight a little bit, but he was not a heavyweight.
Ryan Bader.
Yeah, and then Ryan Bader had to basically move up, and he's another one. He was a light heavyweight in the UFC. He wasn't fighting at heavyweight. So, but now it's like you go over there, and now all of a sudden you're fighting in, you know, two or three divisions because they don't have enough guys to fill divisions. They don't have even 15 ranked guys. You can't even have a ranking system because you'd have your whole roster would probably be in the rankings. It wouldn't even make sense. But you know, how would you know who's actually, you know, who's a top guy and who's not? Anyways, I'm getting away from the point here. So Corey Anderson wins the fight over there. He knocks out Bader, but Kovic calls him out, I think on Twitter or on Instagram, and just kind of taunting him and saying that I don't remember exactly what he said, but he might have posted a picture of him.
Did Corey Anderson said he was the best light heavyweight in the world after he beat Ryan Bader.
That was what it was?
Yeah.
I didn't put those pieces together because I saw him say he was the best light heavyweight in the world, but I didn't piece that together right away until you just said it with Bukovic just kind of putting out that piece, kind of just taking shots at him. I thought it was just coming out the blue, taking shots at him, and I was just accepting it. I was like, word, Bukovic talked that talk. That's why in the tweet I was like, that's that champ talk, man. He's talking that talk right now. Like, let Bukovic go, man. He deserves to talk that talk. He beats guys handily all the time, so he deserves it. Like, if anybody, he can, and he usually doesn't say anything, but he beats all the guys that do talk. So, you know, he deserves to talk, especially, and he's the champ. So, and he's been dominant. You know, he fought for the belt, and he's defended the belt. He's going to defend the belt again next weekend. And, you know, I was just excited to see it, and I figured you would appreciate it because we often said Bellator is the B-League. And you've often said that, you know, guys go over there and they have more success because they're not fighting, you know, the highest level. They're not fighting the best guys, but then, you know, they might feel a little bit more confident once they start going on a win streak in Bellator. But they're not really beating. Who are they really fighting? You know. So I just thought you would appreciate that because Bukovic came out and kind of called him on that BS. So. Yeah, I just thought that was catered to you, that whole back and forth, I thought.
Man, when I saw it, thought it was so funny. And once again, I thought it was so true. You know, Bukovic said, you know, I must have hit him too hard for him to... He said, I must have hit him too hard because there's no way... Basically, he was saying there's no way he can think he's the best light heavyweight in the world. Because I beat him. So, man, me and you were big fans of Corey Anderson. I thought he was in line to get a title shot against John Jones. And then he fought Bukovic and got killed. And then his contract expired. The UFC didn't even offer him a new contract. So then he went to Bellator. I think Corey, he didn't know how to play ball with the UFC. Sometimes when you are fighting your way up and you're doing it the right way, sometimes you just go with the flow. But Corey, from what I understand, he was bucking, trying to buck the system with Dana White to get his title shot. Dana White was never a fan of Corey Anderson's quote-unquote wrestling style. You know, he's not a fan of Blaze either. you know, because of Blaze wrestling style. But once again, it's mixed martial arts. There's more than one way to skin a cat in a fight. Corey Anderson did what he thought he was best at, and it led him to a lot of wins in the UFC. But you can't go down to Bellator, man, and proclaim you the best in the world at a particular weight class when you really wasn't the best in the world when you was in that same weight class in the UFC. So I liked it. I think Blachowicz is basically doing champ shit. And when I saw it, I loved it. I thought it was pretty funny and pretty true at the same time.
I just want to point out how you said he fought Blachowicz and got killed. Man, I was laughing out loud, but I turned my mic off because I'm like, all right, I'm going to let him rock, you know. And I'll try to interrupt. Let me get his rocks off. But I'm over here laughing. I turned my mic off. I'm like, wow, that was hilarious, you know. Oh, man, sometimes it's good, though. We got to get those funny moments on air. But, you know, I wanted to let you have your airspace, too, you know, and just be respectful. But that was hilarious. Man said he went to Blachowicz and got beheaded. He said he fought Blachowicz and got beheaded, man.
I mean, but if you look at it, I think at the time Corey Anderson was on Corey Anderson is the one that started the beginning of the end of the Johnny Walker hype train, right? It was Corey Anderson, right?
Yeah, Corey Anderson. That was Corey like pretty Anderson. Yeah, he pretty much changed. he pretty much changed Johnny Walker's whole trajectory. Johnny Walker was. That was the fight that really, like, spun Johnny Walker off course. You know, he kind of put the beats on Johnny Walker, and then it was like, damn. But,
yeah.
You know, but Corey Anderson, though, didn't Ryan Bader say the same thing when he won the two belts in Bellator? Didn't he say he was the best heavyweight and light heavyweight? Didn't he say that? And then John Jones came out. And, I think he did.
Yeah,
I remember John Jones. I want to say John Jones posted a picture on Instagram after he said that of him KOing Ryan Bader. I'm pretty sure he stopped Ryan Bader, right? In like first round, I think.
I mean, really?
Yeah, that or Cormier
Ryan
did.
Bader,
somebody posted something.
Yeah, because I think Cormier and Bader just don't like each other. They definitely don't like each other. But I know that I want to say somebody posted his win-loss record while he was in the UFC on Twitter when he said he was the best. And, man, that was so funny. Oh, man, that was funny. Somebody posted his win-loss record while he was in the UFC as a reply to his tweet saying he was the best.
Is there any echo on my mic?
Uh-oh, you good.
All right, just making sure. Yeah, I don't – someone did post that because he was actually – yeah, I think John Jones fought Bader. I'm pretty sure John Jones finished Bader in the first round. I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
I think,
he beat him.
Yeah, I think he beat him in the first round, right? I think it was a first round knockout. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up now, but I know he beat
I wasn't
him.
Even watching back then, but I'll tell you, I know my shit. I think it was a first round knockout, either that or a first round TKO.
Well, yeah, man. Whoever did that, man, when they posted his win loss record, man, I was like, man, boy, the internet is undefeated.
Yeah, people are quick. People are quick too, man. You never expect it. People come out with the files real quick. You could say anything. People will come out with your tweet or, you know, fighters like him getting knocked out back in 2012. Like, they'll post that video right away, you know? Like,
yeah, you ain't getting away with that, buddy.
No, not at all. Not at all. But did you see though? You know, I think Blachowicz, that's a nice little, I think that was the perfect time for Corey to say that, because it lets Blachowicz kind of, you know, put himself out there a little bit before his title fight next week. So that's what's up. That just sold a couple extra pay-per-views for Blachowicz, so I'm happy to see it for the boy.
Yeah, he lost to John Jones, second round submission.
Okay. I was close. I knew it was early in the fight. I was close.
But I think the fight you're talking about is Anthony Rumble Johnson, that he got KO'd in the first round.
Who did he fight?
By Rumble Johnson, one minute into the first round.
Yeah, that might have been it then. But yeah, did you see, anyways, moving on from that topic, did you see they released the UFC 269 card, and we are getting the undisputed lightweight world champion, Charles Oliveira, who is, I believe, currently on an 8-9, maybe 10 fight win streak, and he is not being respected by virtually anybody. He's going to fight Dustin Poirier, number one contender. How do you feel about that?
I've been saying it for weeks. I think me and you are probably definitely in the minority, but I think Oliveira wins this fight, man. I think that Oliveira is definitely the better all-around fighter. Although his striking isn't as top-notch as Poirier, his striking has gotten better. But his ground game is probably second to none. So he has more than one way of winning the fight. Not saying Poirier doesn't, but I like the fact that Oliveira has more tools in his toolbox than I think Poirier does. Plus, I think there's a lot of pressure on Poirier because everybody's saying he's the uncrowned champ and all this stuff, and so I think there's a lot of pressure coming to, gonna be heating upon him coming this fight to live up to everybody else's expectations and what everybody else is saying about him.
Yeah, and we remember the last time fans wanted to proclaim a fighter the uncrowned champ. We remember who that was. That was Dominic Reyes. They said Dominic Reyes was the uncrowned champ. And then what happened to Dominic Reyes in his next fight? He
got lumped up.
Slumped.
Yep. But this card, man, this card is actually a dope card. You got Poirier versus Oliveira. You got Amanda Nunes versus Jessica Pena. I think Nunes wins in total domination again. You got Leon Edwards versus Masvidal. You got Cara France welcoming Corey Garbrandt to the flyweight division. And then you got some guy, Paiva, versus Sean O'Malley. I don't know why the UFC keep putting him on the main card when he's fighting these nobodies. This fight should be on the prelims. And probably Jeff Neal versus Ponzinibbio should be the first fight on the main pay-per-view card. You got Pedro Munhoz versus Dominique Cruz. You got Macy Barber on this card. You got your girl Jillian Robertson on this card. So there's a lot of bangers on this card, man. So I'm looking forward to it. And as always, you know, me and Keys wishing all the fighters the best in their weight cuts and their training. Hopefully they stay injury-free, and they get to walk the walk. and that's the walk to the octagon for this pay-per-view on December the 11th.
Man, Jillian Robertson, though. Jillian Robertson, man. She's a smoke show, man. I don't care what y'all are talking about. Jillian Robertson is dope, man. Y'all sleeping. Y'all sleeping. All right, I'm going off the record on this one. She's fire, man. That's it. So it is what it was. A wise man once said, she's fire. And
how can you go off the record on a live show?
I'm saying, you know what I meant, man. I said I'm going off the
record. Basically, it's on record.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Whatever, same difference.
So Jillian Robertson, Keys is letting you know that you bought that work.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, she's, man, Jillian Robertson, so safe to say I'm happy she's on the card. I'm happy she's on the card. I love the red hair. I love red hair, man. I'm a sucker for that, so I love it. I follow her on Instagram. I'm a huge fan. So it is what it was. And that's a great card. 269 looks awesome. And they got my boy Cruz on there. Cruz is going to kick ass. So just accept it. Cruz is going to kick ass. That's my prediction. And we'll get the official, you know, down the line because we don't do that yet. But I think Cruz is coming in for another W. He's coming back. And that's a great card. I'm happy. I think Oliveira is going to shock a lot of people, probably the whole world. He's probably going to shock the whole world. He's going to beat Poirier. That's going to be wild. We might be probably the only show that is even predicting that. We're probably the only UFC MMA show that is predicting Oliveira to beat Poirier, because you know how it is, man. Everybody just likes to have the same prediction for some reason. It's like almost like say what seems cool to say. It's not like, I don't know, it just seems like people aren't really thinking about this, you know what I mean? It's like you see one outlet has an opinion, and then you look the next nine, and they all have the exact same opinion. It's like, are y'all just watching the biggest news source and then just saying what they said? Like, like really? Because that's what it seems like. Like, am I bugging? Because like, it really seems like that. You look at all these guys, like, making predictions, all these, like, high-level sources, and it's like it seems like they're all just reading each other's articles and copying each other. You know, you watch these guys' YouTube videos, they're all saying the exact same thing. Oh, Poirier, you know, this, that. It's like, man, have you guys not been watching Charles Oliveira's fights? You not been watching him? What? Yo, if anybody's
man,
predicting
just...
that Poirier, if anybody's predicting that Poirier is just going to walk through Oliveira, you are delusional. That is absolutely delusional to say. That is delusional.
Totally
to say.
Agree.
I will not hold back, because that, you know, that's crazy. When you really think about it, if you're a fight fan and you watch those two guys, you know that's crazy. And you know what's funny about it? Poirier probably even knows that's crazy. I bet you when the fight comes, watch. When the fight gets closer, Poirier is going to say a very similar thing to that. Poirier is going to be the one saying, oh, you know, this is probably the toughest fight of my career. This is probably one of the toughest fights. Watch him say it. He's going to say something like that. You know, and he's going to be the one coming back saying, you know, giving Oliveira the credit he deserves and being like, oh, you know, watch, you already know. I already know. Poirier's
yep.
a real one. I expect him to come out and keep it real how it is. He's not gonna say, oh, I'm just going to go take the belt. He knows that's not the kind of fight this is. So anybody who really been paying attention knows that's not the kind of fight this is. I've been watching Oliveira for years, man. I've been watching him for years. I've been watching him submit guys, you know, in the first 2 minutes of the first round for years, bro. For years I've been watching
yep.
him do that. And then what I
yep.
used to say about him years ago was, wow, this dude's incredible on the mat. You know, his BJJ game is, you know, his jiu-jitsu game is pretty much second to none, like you said. But the one criticism I had of him was, but when the fight's on the feet, it seems like he's lacking there. He's trying to rush the fight to get where he's confident. You know, he's not confident on the feet. And I said, you know, that's one thing that I think he'll have to improve if he wants to, you know, if he wants to fight for championships and fight top five guys in these divisions. He wants to move up and fight the big names. I think he's going to need to gain the striking into his game. He's going to need to get that. And what did he do? He went out and got it. Now he has the striking. He can box with these guys. So, yeah, did he get caught by Chandler? And people and even me said, oh, well, he got caught with a big shot. Oh, maybe he, you know, maybe he can be knocked out. Yeah. Look, most of these guys are getting, when they get hit by that kind of shot by Chandler, they're going to be wobbled too. So don't get it twisted. Chandler hits hard. Chandler hits very hard. There's a reason why he was the world champion before. You know, he was knocking out all left and right. It doesn't matter if, you know what I'm saying, if he can't, Chandler might not, we don't know if he has better cardio than some of these guys or if how Chandler's going to look, you know, 20 minutes into a fight. We haven't seen it yet in the UFC, but we do know one thing. He hits hard as a muck. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to censor myself, but all these guys, you know, would be rocked getting hit with the shots that Oliveira took. So everyone's saying he's chinny now, and Poirier is going to go in there and knock him out. And it's just like, man, that just sounds crazy. Y'all got to go eat some food, man. Get some vitamin C. My God.
And I just chalk it up to what you said, Keith. A lot of people is calling him the uncrowned champion. And when people are calling him the uncrowned champion, basically they are not respecting the guy who actually has the belt. And I think Oliveira will earn a lot of people respect after this fight. And it won't be me and you, because I know me and you are basically cut from the same cloth on this one, is that we understand that Oliveira is a good fighter. We understand that he can do more than one thing inside the octagon to win fights. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I think we both understand that Dustin Poirier knows that. He knows that this is an extremely tough fight, and it's not, you know, it's not an easy win for anybody in the division. So all these guys it's so funny to me. All these guys criticizing him. Like, I don't think Justin Gaethje, you know, a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for him. I'm a huge fan of Gaethje, but I don't know if he has the submission defense like Chandler had, or like Chandler has, which he showed in that fight, to deal with Oliveira taking his back. I don't know if Gaethje would be able to stop that.
I don't either.
You know what I'm saying? If he's in the same scenario, I don't know if Gaethje has the skills, you know, from bottom position. You have Oliveira, you know, probably the best, arguably the best submission artist we've ever seen in the UFC, arguably, right? On your back, I don't know if Gaethje can get out of that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Me either.
And I don't know if a lot of these lightweights can get out of that. You know, get out of that situation. You know, we saw Oliveira dominate Tony Ferguson on the mat. You know, he didn't. And actually, Ferguson is just such a warrior that we saw Ferguson in that armbar, or what looked like an armbar. From what I remember, that was a nasty armbar Oliveira had him in. But Ferguson is just – not all these guys are going to be able to pull that off. Ferguson is a warrior from hell, man. That's what he is. Ferguson is a different dude. Guys don't fight through that kind of shit. Like, you could see he was screaming at the top of his lungs in there. Like, that took a lot. I don't think Gaethje could do that. I don't think Gaethje could do that. I don't think a lot of these lightweights could do that. I don't even know if Poirier could do that. I don't know if Poirier could do that.
No, I don't think. I think Poirier is a little bit a better scrambler. You know, once he gets taken down a bit and on his back, I think he's a little better scrambler. But as far as, you know, getting taken down and being able to possibly win the fight off his back, I don't think he can do that. But what me and Keys are saying is the Charles Oliveira trash talk stops here. We ain't taking it no more. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it if Oliveira comes out in the post-fight interview and says something like that. I wouldn't doubt it if he comes out and, you know, he's speaking Spanish and his translator comes back and, you know, he actually says something, you know, similar to that. You know, he's such a respectful guy. He probably wouldn't even want to address it, but I wouldn't doubt it that he notices, you know, a lot of the things that people have been saying about him.
Man, but you know, one thing about Charles that I do like is he really don't engage in the trash talk, and I definitely respect that. I like guys and girls that step in there and let their skills do the talking for them. And once again, me and Keys will not be surprised or shocked when Charles Oliveira wins this fight. It's just that simple. I think Charles has done it the right way. You know, he took his lumps coming up. He's not an undefeated fighter going into a title fight. So I think his fan club grows even bigger after he beats Dustin Poirier. It's too late to jump on the bandwagon because me and Keys already been driving it.
Yeah, we already left, man. We already left. And look at this. I just wanna point something out, because just so people can't try to say that we just started, you know what I'm saying? First of all, like I said, I think we're pretty much not even I think. I know out of any MMA source, and I've been watching a lot lately. I didn't know Michael Bisping has a blog on his YouTube channel. Lee, you should check that out, by the way. Michael Bisping does a blog, and he's got some really good content he talks about. I think you would like it. Who is the other one? Israel Adesanya has a blog. He does YouTube videos. He talks about a lot of the fights. He actually just did like a prediction type of video about Paulo Costa and Vettori's fight, which is great content because, you know, he loves both of those guys. So that was actually pretty funny. You should check that out too. But I didn't know there's all these, you know, fighters that are doing blogs, you know, and talking fights on YouTube. I wasn't aware. So I've been watching those, and there's, you know, MMA Junkies out there, ESPN MMA is out there, MMA Island's out there, MMA News Daily is out there. Like, there's so many sources, and I think we're the only one that I've seen that are actually pushing Oliveira's, you know, pushing that train. We've been driving that train, and we said it years. I feel like we said it years ago. I feel like way back on it, we were saying it, you know, last year before he even got the Tony fight, we were saying it. We were saying, yeah, I think Oliveira is going to come up in this division. He's a dark horse of this division. We all said that on this show. That was months before he got that fight. That was like summer 2020. We were like saying that we feel like Oliveira, he was ranked like number 8 or number 6 or something like that. We were like, we think he's a dark horse of the division. He's going to be the one to come up. You know, he's the one nobody's talking about. He's going to be the one to come up and take over. And that's exactly what happened. He took over. He did more. He busted through the door and took the belt.
And plus, if you look at his record, he will always lose big fights. And then he kind of sort of turned it around. He started winning big fights. So, you know, you got to get that man his proper due, man. That, I mean, a lot of people, you know, probably feel a certain way about Poirier being a champ because he beat Conor and, you know, all this and all that. But at the same time, Poirier lost to Khabib, Conor lost to Khabib, Gaethje lost to Khabib. So why not have somebody up there that didn't lose to Khabib? I mean, he didn't fight him, but he didn't lose to him either. So I'm cool with Charles Oliveira being champ. I think it's and they'll be announcing as still after his fight with Dustin Poirier. Well, we talked about a lot tonight. We talked about UFC 269. We talked about the controversy with Aspen Ladd and her trainer, you know, the talk in between rounds. We talked about Paulo Costa and Vettori. We didn't get to our GOATs of the division, so we'll definitely slide that in next week. But any last words, bro?
And, yeah, the GOAT talk is that kind of takes a little bit longer, too. So where we were already kind of, you know, talking about Bukovic, we were talking about Corey Anderson, we were talking about UFC 269, Charles Oliveira, Poirier, we were talking about a lot of different things. So that, you know, the GOAT conversation, that would probably take, you know, the majority of an episode to really break that down. But I want to say we've done that before, though. So, I mean, unless we'll talk about that, you know, between now and the next show, and we'll have to send each other our lists, you know, as they are. And, you know, if our lists haven't really changed, because I want to say we've done that before, that type of show. So if our lists really haven't changed much, then, you know, maybe we won't do it. Maybe we'll hold off, you know, wait another year or something, see how, you know, maybe our list will change, you know. But one thing that I'm going to – so we might do that show. We might not do it. We'll see what happens. But one thing I also wanted to ask you about that I didn't get to ask you about tonight, but I definitely will ask you about next week, and I'm almost damn sure you'll have a bit to say about this. That Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter fight, that's about a month away. It's a little less than a month away, or no, a little more. It's like I think it's November 20th, I think, the fight. I think it's exactly a month away from today, right? I was watching the interview during breakfast. I was watching it last night, Sean Porter. I've been actually watching his podcast a little bit, too. Speaking of which, I haven't been watching all MMA. I've been watching Sean Porter podcast, and they got some pretty cool stuff on there. And I was watching his interview this morning with my breakfast, and he was talking about the fight. And I just got to ask you about that next week. You know, Terrence Crawford is your boy. You know, you've been talking him up for a couple of years as well. You know, like we've been talking up a lot of things for years, but we won't even hold y'all. That's your boy. So I got to ask you about that. Him fighting Sean Porter, I think that's a banger. So you're gonna have to break that down for me and for the people.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely looking forward to talking about that, because actually this fight opens the door to a possible Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford fight, because Sean Porter is on PBC, Terrence Crawford is on ESPN, aka Top Rank. So yeah, man, we'll definitely talk about that. But you know, let's get up off of here. You know, we went over, but you know, it's always all good. You know, we're passionate about our show. So that's how we talk about things a little bit longer, because we can and because we feel it deserves to be talked about. So that being said, everybody have a nice weekend. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Wear your mask. Practice social distancing. The vaccine is a personal choice that should be made by you and you only. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. And as always, Lee and Keith signs off with a peace.